Hello and welcome to another episode of the Super Sports Schools podcast brought to you by Spur. It's episode 2 of season 4. Last week, we brought you some interviews from behind the scenes of the SA20, and we're going to continue doing that in this week's episode. Chummies at Wanderers, I'm at Centurion. Let's go and meet some people.
This is the Super Sports Schools podcast, brought to you by Spur.
I'm with Charlotte Soradi, who is a scorer for the SA20, but more importantly, is the cricket services manager for the Titans. And you've got an amazing story to tell, so we want to unpack it a little bit to inspire everyone out there to get involved in cricket and the different ways that you can get involved, but particularly the little girls at home who are watching and want to be involved in cricket. So start us off. Where did your journey begin? When did you first pick up a cricket ball?
Okay. Thank you, Alex, and thanks for having me, and I'm happy to share my story where it all started. It started, obviously, from the mini cricket program, which is called KFC Mini Cricket today. At the age of 5, I've played mini cricket for a period of 3 years. From then, I was identified to progress to hardball cricket, where I've joined a cricket club in Mamelodi, playing with, it was a ladies' team, playing with, obviously, older guys than me. And yeah, that's where it all started.
Yeah, yeah. And then I know that after that, you were thinking maybe you have to go into retail to earn some money after school, and then that was going to take up a lot of your time, and you weren't maybe going to be able to carry on cricket. So how did that get bridged? How did you end up managing to keep on with cricket?
Okay. How did that happen? When I was in grade 12, I was playing for the Titans women's team then. And obviously, knowing that I won't be able to continue playing because I didn't have money to go to university the following year, I was forced to go look for a job. Obviously, without any qualification, without a degree, the only option that was available, obviously, was retail. I wasn't aware that there are people watching. I was called into an office to say, you've got a lot of potential, and we want to help you. We want to keep you in cricket. And how we'll go about it, we'll enroll you into the men's academy just to develop your cricket further. So I went on it, and I was like, look, this is my option, my only option to actually continue with cricket. And I went ahead and said, look, I'm going to grab this with both hands. I'm going to do it. Following year, I was enrolled into the men's academy for a year. The last day of the academy, I was called into the cricket operations department by the manager back then, Brian Frost, who requested if I can still continue. They'll give me something small I can assist with, some admin work, in particular capturing club cricket results. What I forgot to mention, how I got to be a scorer. When I was playing club cricket, we were approached by the Titans Scorers Association to say, we are in need of scorers. Seeing that you are playing cricket, you already have the knowledge of the game, and you only play your matches on Sundays. We need scorers on Saturday. How about you do it? You do scoring Saturdays, and then Sunday you do your cricket matches. And yes, that's where it all started. It was easy for me to do those club cricket results because I knew what a scorecard is. And that's where my scoring journey started as well. Did the admin for a period of a year. Then a position became vacant. KFC mini cricket position became vacant. Applied for it and I got the job. And in that, I did the mini cricket for 3 years. In the 3 years, 1 year, I was awarded the coordinator of the year, CSA coordinator of the year, which was exciting. And I thought, my job is done here. Anything that opens up, I'm definitely going for it. And luckily, club cricket opened up.
Yes.
The club cricket position here, Titans cricket, opened up and I applied. Got the job, did club cricket for 3 years. And I tried my best to make sure that I excel in that position. 3 years later, the cricket services manager position, the position that I'm currently on, opened up and I applied. No, I didn't apply. Actually, got a promotion.
You approached.
Yes.
Yes. Oh, even better. And a day-to-day as a cricket services manager, what does that role look like? I know you obviously started in COVID, so I imagine your role looked very different then to what it does now. But today, now, and involved with the SA20, what's the kind of day-to-day?
Day-to-day, obviously making sure the game grows. So I've got a couple of guys reporting to me, obviously, in different programs. I obviously need to make sure I keep tabs on all programs, obviously from a mini-cricket level up until hardball, up until they're good enough to move up to professional setup. Day-to-day will be obviously monitoring the growth and that CSA incentive scorecard that was introduced to make sure that we tick all the boxes. And obviously, what can we do extra to make sure that we get partners on board to help us with funding and obviously help us develop cricket in Swaziland. Yeah.
I think something that's also changed a lot during your time while you've been cricket services manager during your journey is women's cricket in South Africa. The women's Proteas now are far more popular, far more exposure than there ever was before. And we're seeing cricket grow in South Africa for girls starting to play as well. Is it something exciting for you to look back and to think that you've been part of that? And now, if those girls want after school to take up cricket, it probably won't be as tough as it was for you.
This is very exciting, and knowing that I was part of the journey makes it more exciting because I know where all this started. They're very lucky now. Back then you were just playing without getting paid, and now if you play professional cricket you get a salary, and the CSA must be commended for this. I know it took them a while to actually put women's cricket where it is today, and they must just keep on going. It is exciting, and to be honest, we don't struggle anymore to go to schools and get them to start partake in a cricket game because it's now out there. You know, you can make a career out of it. If you struggle at school, you can still make it playing cricket.
100%. I think then what I also want to put out there, and why we've been doing all these interviews at the SA20, is that it's not just playing, it's not just coaching. There are all sorts of other ways you can be involved, as you've shown us today in your amazing story. So to girls out there who are interested, who think that maybe one day they want to be involved in cricket, maybe they want to play, but maybe it doesn't work out, or they don't want to play, but they want to be involved, and things like scoring, all the admin behind the scenes. And like you said, you didn't go to university, so there are all sorts of ways you can be involved. What's your advice to them? What sort of words of wisdom do you have, having gone through the system?
What I'll say to them, there's a lot of opportunities. If you don't make it as a cricketer as well, you can make it as a coach, you can make it as an umpire, you can make it as a scorer, you can make it as a commentator. There's a whole lot of opportunities out there and always available. They're looking for people. So, yes.
Ah, amazing. Amazing. And we've been chatting to some of those umpires, some of those scorers, photographers, all sorts. There's so many ways that you can be involved in cricket, in the SA20. We're going to take a quick break now on the Super Sport Schools podcast. When we come back, Shami's chatting to someone else for you.
Welcome back to the Super Sport Schools podcast. I'm joined now by Sphelele Gaza, who's a working umpire at today's SA20 game. Sphelele, how are you feeling today?
I'm good. Well, that looks good, so everything should be good.
Right, okay. So you're the fourth umpire today. For the viewers at home that don't know what a fourth umpire is, can you just give us some insight on it?
Yeah, well, fourth umpire is mainly responsible when the players are not on the field, because you need to check the balls are the right sizes.
Okay.
Nobody is walking on the pitch.
Okay.
And yeah, so mainly you control the traffic before the game starts.
Okay, you make their job easier.
Exactly.
Okay, so easy stuff aside, what's the toughest part of your job as an umpire? Whether you're the fourth or what is the toughest part?
I think the toughest part of any umpire is making the right decisions. Because you need to make the right decisions all the time.
Yeah. Have you ever had a time where maybe you put your finger up for an LB and you knew immediately that no, this one's gonna get reviewed?
A few times.
Yeah.
Sometimes, like, there's other games you do where there's no TV.
Yeah.
And as soon as your hand is up, you know that I might have messed it up.
Yeah,
because something clicks later.
Yeah. Okay, cool. And then what goes through your mind when that decision is made, the wrong decision? How do you stand your ground, stay confident?
Look, it's a few things that we get trained on how to bounce back after you've made an error.
Okay, it's and training.
It, on how to deal with it, on how to park it, and then you can revisit it after the game. But then, because the next ball is the next important thing.
Yeah.
Because you need to be focused, you need to be at the top of your game for the next delivery.
Sure, that sounds hectic, but I'm happy to hear that there is training that actually goes into that.
Yeah, there is.
Okay, lovely. And you went to Pretoria Boys High School, right? Did you play cricket there?
Yes, I did. I actually went to Pretoria Boys High on a cricket buzzer.
Okay, and you ended up not on the field in your career, but still involved in cricket in some way.
Yes.
So can you say that Pretoria Boys High's cricket shaped you in some way in pursuing cricket as a career?
I wouldn't say the game at school, but it's the upbringing that you get, the lessons that get taught to you when you're a boys high boy. That's why everybody who went to Boys High still think it's the best school in the country, not the world, if not the world.
Okay.
Because of the traditions and how to interact with the community after matric as well.
Okay, and do you think high school cricket is also shaping the school's SAT?
I think the program that we have in South African cricket in terms of high school cricket, you can see with the results of what the type of players that it has produced for the country.
Yeah.
Even on the domestic circuit, I mean, the SA schools are... SAT 20 schools is also a great initiative just to get the boys out there playing.
Yeah, brilliant. And for anyone who wants to end up in your position one day, they want to be a Sphelele Gasa in the next 10 years, what would you say should, what steps should they take? What can they do to end up like you?
Look, if you're still a youngster, I'd say you must play.
Okay.
Because you will need that when you umpire, because you need to be able to read the game.
Mm.
So it's difficult to read the game if you haven't played.
Yeah.
So I'd say for any youngster, you must still play, and then later on, then you can take up umpiring.
Okay, is there any training or?
Yeah, well, there is training that takes place. You need to write your level 1, level 2, level 3, and then you get invited to write the national exam. And then only later, and then they decide whether you are good enough to be on the reserve list panel.
Okay.
And then after the reserve list panel, there's a first class panel,
okay,
of which some of us are at the moment. Yeah, so it's a bit of a journey.
So can you tell me more about in umpiring, right? I mean, if you're a fourth umpire, that means there must be a third, second, first, there's on TV. Just please break down that whole world of umpiring.
Okay, so we call it the PCT.
Okay.
Player control team.
Okay.
Playing controlling team, yeah. So five of us, you get the match ref.
Okay.
Who does the toss.
Okay.
And is actually in charge of player behavior and all those things.
Okay.
And then you get the two on-field umpires.
Okay.
And then you get the TV umpire.
Okay.
So when that sign goes
okay,
up, and
that's
then it's
that
referred
one
to the TV umpire.
All right.
And then you get what I'm doing today, which is a fourth umpire.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then have you ever been the TV umpire?
Yeah, I was TV umpire for the last game here.
Okay, lovely.
And then, yeah, I think I was TV as well in Durban on the 30th.
And then you say, roll it back for me.
Roll it back, move it forward, freeze it.
Okay.
Zoom in, zoom out. I want this angle, I want that angle.
Oh, lovely. Which one would you say is your favorite from the five? Can you ever?
You want to be on field.
You want to be on field?
You want to be on
really?
Field.
Really? Not
yes.
The TV one?
No.
You can't get that one wrong.
Because you need to also feel be part of the game in a way.
Okay.
Because then the atmosphere and everything, it's just there when you're on field.
Okay, and speaking of on field, can you tell us about the different venues and maybe the grounds and the conditions?
What look, for the SA20, there's six venues.
Okay.
So you get Kingsmead.
Okay.
You get Newlands, there's Paarl,
yes,
there's St. George's, there's Wanderers, there's Supersport Park.
Okay, lovely.
And every single ground has got its own different atmosphere.
Okay.
The vibe is different. The crowds are different. So when you go to a Durban, you know the pitch is not, it's not predictable.
Oh, okay.
It can do anything on any day.
All right.
And then you get to St. George's and PE in Kavecha.
Yes.
Where the crowd is a vibe on its own, the Orange Army.
Okay,
that's how they are known.
Yes.
Yeah, with the band and everything, it gets noisy. And then sometimes it becomes difficult to umpire where you can't hear some
of
the
noise actually distracts you on field.
Yeah, well, sometimes you can't hear the faint edges and stuff like that.
Oh.
But it's also just a different experience to be there. And then you get the Wanderers where at full capacity, the Wanderers is
electric.
It's amazing.
Yes.
And then you get my home ground, Supersport Park.
Okay.
Which is more of a sentimental thing for me because I grew up in Pretoria.
Yes.
But yeah, all those grounds have, they offer something different.
And which one would you say is your favorite? Are you going to be biased and go
Definitely with... I'm going to be biased and go with SuperSport Park.
Oh, come on. Okay. And what about SuperSport Park beyond the nostalgia?
Look, I grew up at SuperSport Park.
That's
home. So if you don't like being home, then there's a problem
there
with
There is. And you have obviously umpired at SuperSport Park numerous
luckily
times.
Luckily for me, for the SA20, I think every season I've managed to have a game at SuperSport Park.
Okay, nice.
On field.
On
so,
field.
Which is great.
And that's your favorite?
It's my favorite ground, yeah.
That's amazing. Welcome back to the Super Sports Schools podcast, where we are discovering careers beyond the boundary. Now, umpires aren't the only people that make official decisions and keep the game going. Some of the most hardworking people are actually the scorers. I'm joined here by Mr. Kasim Peji, who's going to tell us a little bit more about what it takes to be a scorer. Mr. Kasim, how are you?
Fine, yourself?
Good, thank you. So let's just, right off the bat, what do you do when you are at the matches?
Okay, when at the match,
yes.
We have to score each ball. We have to record each ball.
Yes.
Ball by ball. So if it's a dot ball, you record a dot ball. If it's two runs, you have to record. And then if there are reviews, you have to record it as well. The power plays, the strategic timeouts, the total scores and the wickets at each, and the scores and fall of wickets partnerships. And they say that when a batsman scores zero, they don't trouble the scorers, but they do trouble the scorers because he has to record.
But
to record the entry that how the batsman got out, and who was the bowler, the runs, the
minutes.
Yeah, so they do trouble the scorers.
So it is a hectic job you're doing. Just tell me, is there a lot of technology involved in what you do, or do you guys just do it by hand?
Okay, me, I'm a manual scorer.
Okay.
So there are other scorers. We've got the computer scorer.
Okay.
As well, we've got production. Production, he puts up any messages on the scoreboard.
Yeah.
But in this case, SA20, I think production is not, they don't have the...
A scorer.
They don't have rights to the scoreboard. So in those matches, doesn't show, but when there's international and domestic matches, it shows on the scoreboard.
Oh, okay. Okay, that's very interesting. And then how well do you need to actually know cricket to become a scorer? What if I know nothing about cricket? Can I be a scorer?
You've got to have some basic knowledge of cricket, because if you don't know what's a bye or leg bye or no ball or wide, you'll be lost.
Definitely you'll be lost. And then can you tell us what's the best part of this job?
Best part of this
job? Besides the amazing cricket that you get to watch, even though you have to be very focused, but what's the best part of the job?
For me, the best part is I really enjoy it.
Yes.
And I really enjoy manual scoring as opposed to computer scoring. They've got other avenues there in the score box.
Yes.
Such as field spotter. The field spotter, he tells the scorers who took the catch, who's going to come in to bat, who's coming in to bowl, who took the run out.
Where do they stand? On the field or in the box?
No, in the score box. The score box here at Wanderers Stadium is there. Next to that, there's it's called a secondary scoreboard.
Okay.
Which is that a little window there next to the scoreboard.
Okay, so there's a box dedicated to just scoring in the stadium?
Yes.
Okay, that's awesome. That's quite interesting. Any advice that you would give to someone that actually wants to start scoring? How did you start? Because you don't just end up scoring for the SA20. That's a big deal. So how did you end up there?
Yes. I was very passionate about cricket
since
I was in school.
Okay.
So I've been scoring since 1994, since I was in standard 5. Obviously, that time it was in that old scorebooks where you tick off the runs there, accumulator.
Yes.
And obviously, I went and to do the linear courses.
Oh, you did some courses?
Yeah, some courses from about the year 2000.
Oh.
And I was in matric.
Okay.
There was a few courses that I did. And I did it... fortunately, I knew about cricket and I was long involved, so I didn't have transport to come to the courses. So I told them, no, they must rather post the workbooks and I'll just come write the exam. So
Should just go write the exam.
Yeah, so that's how that I good. Started. But it's a tough job. You've got to concentrate.
Yes.
You've got to watch every ball. You've got to watch the umpires because you've got to acknowledge their signals.
Yes. So that is impressive, Mr. Kasim. You've been doing this for over 25 years.
Yes.
And it's still super exciting for you. It's not getting boring yet.
No.
You've got 25 to go. Yes?
Hopefully.
Okay, well, thank you so much for your time. I hope someone has been inspired and quite insightful. Thank you so much.
Okay.
It's time for the quiz with A Taste for Life. I have two teams with me here at the St. Stithians Easter Festival. Ladies, are we all from St. Stithians or are we a mix or what's happening?
A mix.
Yeah. Okay, so St. Stithians this side and then a mix this side.
Yes.
Okay, you've chatted before the show. Which team is going first?
Yeah.
Okay, was that an easy decision or was it a debate?
It was a debate.
All right, awesome. Okay, quickly, how the quiz works. You're going to get 60 seconds to answer as many questions correctly as you can. The team that gets more questions correct at the end wins a voucher from Spur. All happy already?
Yes.
Okay, what kind of sports questions are we hoping come up?
Tennis.
Netball.
Rowing. Yeah.
F1.
Yes, F1. Okay. So actually, it's quite a diverse range that we're hoping for. Okay. No, that's good. That's good. If we have a tie, I'll explain what happens.
Okay.
So let's not... let's. someone wants those Spur vouchers, hey? Yes, good. Okay, then it is the quiz with the Taste for Life. So somewhere in there, there's going to be a question about Spur. It just has to do with your favorite meal. So quickly think of what your favorite meal is. And yeah, we'll go with that. Only one person needs to shout the right answer. The first answer I hear is the one I'm going to take. Okay. Ladies, are you ready?
Yes.
60 seconds on my clock. Your time starts now. True or false? Cricket will be played at the 2028 Olympic Games.
True.
That's correct. Who won the most recent Soweto Derby?
Bafana, no?
No, Orlando Pirates. Your Spur question. Name your favorite Spur meal.
Chicken, chips and chips.
Brilliant. Which F1 team does Lando Norris race for? Is it McLaren or Red Bull?
Red Bull.
It's McLaren. What part of the hockey stick cannot be used in play?
The back.
Yeah, that's correct. Which team has never won a Rugby World Cup final despite playing in one, France or England?
France.
That's correct. Does Kagiso Rabada bowl pace or spin?
Pace, please.
Yeah, it's pace, correct. How many overs are there in an innings of the IPL?
20.
It's 20. Which rugby festival is held annually in Kimberley? Is it Wildeklaver or Noordzuid? That's correct. Who is the current Springbok coach?
I know this one. I have the card.
Pass. Cool. Which country will Bafana Bafana play first at the 2026 FIFA World Cup?
Pass.
It's Mexico. And time is up.
I have never in my life. Generational run. Guessing half the time.
Current Springbok coach, Rassie Erasmus. Soweto Derby is between it's between Kaiser Chiefs and Orlando Pirates.
Guys, why do they know everything?
Ladies, you got 6 correct.
Yes!
Do we think we can get 7?
Yes!
Guys, no.
Okay.
Let's go.
60 seconds. On the clock, your time starts now. Which Pretoria school hosted an Easter festival for the first time this year? Yeah, that's correct. Which sport uses the term slam dunk?
Basketball.
Correct. Who's won more tennis grand slams, Novak Djokovic or Serena Williams?
Novak Djokovic.
It's Serena Williams. Who are the reigning SA20 champions, Sunrisers, Easter Cape or Joburg Super Kings? Sunrises Eastern Cape. Your Spur question. Name your favorite Spur meal. Yeah, correct. Which Formula One team does Max Verstappen race for? Correct. Which PSL team plays at FNB Stadium? Yes, that's correct. Okay. How many players per team are on the field in hockey?
11.
Correct. Which nation has won the most men's Rugby World Cups?
South Africa.
Correct. Which team, what does LBW stand for in cricket?
Leg before wicket.
Correct. In Cape Town, who are Bishop's traditional rugby rivals, Rondebosch or Sachs?
Rondebosch.
Correct. Which country will host the 2027 Rugby World Cup? It's Australia, and time is up. That was impressive. I think that was impressive, eh?
Yes.
That was impressive. Ladies, you got 9. So you've beaten them by 3. Congratulations. You are winners of the quiz with a taste for life.
So you got to buy us something.
Well done.
Well done, well done, well done. Okay, come back. I've got more questions to ask you. Come back, come back, come back, come back. Right, you've won a Spur voucher. What are we going to spend it on?
Food.
That's a good answer. And what a way to end the Super Sports Schools podcast brought to you by Spur. We'll see you next week, same time, same place at 6 on Sunday. But for now, bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.